Okay, we're on page Reish Samach Gimel. We are on page Reish Sad Samach. Reish Samach Gimel. We're up to Halacha. Halacha Shin Choftes. Yes, Shin Choftes. Shin Choftes. 329. Halacha Reish Samach Gimel Shin Choftes. And we will try to read very quickly. We'll just go through some ideas. Quickly. I want to get to the next Sefer. I want to get to Peleoitz. I'm very, very eager to learn during this time for 20 minutes every day. Peleoitz. We have to first finish Sefer Chassidim. A race to the end. Let's see. Now we'll see what we're going to do. Maybe we should split.
It's more interesting as you go on.
Yeah? Maybe we should split. We should learn 2 days. We should learn Peleoitz and 2 days learn Sefer Chassidim. I think Peleoitz will be is a very fascinating, similar to this, but very, but yeah. Let's see. Everybody say. Shin Chav Tes Hanenim Minat Tzedakah Shenosan. Again, page Reish Samach Gimel. That's the page number. Reish Samach Gimel. If you want to know the halach, it's Shin Chav Tes Hanenim Minat Tzedakah Shenosan B'Shvil Shu Oisik B'Torah Mitzvahs V'Masim Tovim. Lo Yehonem Yasher Nosnu. Let's say a person, a rabbi. Okay, I think that's what he means. This everything it says over here is very, very general, abstract. Springboard for topic of discussion of controversial things. A person is a rabbi and someone gives him a gift. Someone gives him money, like a Hanukkah present, gives him a Pesach present, whatever he gives, or any type of Purim present. And the person, okay, everybody say, please. Okay, and the rabbi, you know, the rabbi has a salary. Okay, everybody say, okay. Let's say you have a person, you have a clay card there, she has a salary. He has a salary. And, you know, he barely survives, but he survives. A miracle, he survives on his salary. And then he gets an unexpected gift. One of the students of a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he has a salary. You know, he just gets by with the salary, barely gets by. And then all of a sudden, one day, one of the students, the parent of one of the students, comes, oh, Rabbi, you know, you're my Rebbe, I'm giving you a gift. So many Rebbeim, they that's part of the salary. If they don't get the bonuses and the gifts, they're in the poorhouse. Okay, they're anywhere in the poorhouse. Depends for who. But let's say you have a person that is somewhat independently wealthy, and they are able to live, and then they get a bonus. And the reason why the person is getting this bonus is because you're a malamid. You teach my son Torah. You're my son's Rebbe. It's Pesach. So I want to give the Rebbe of my student. I want to give him a bonus. So he writes over here, Davar Nifla. If you have Parnasa and you're getting money as a bonus because you're a Rebbe, you're a malamid. You're teaching Torah to a person, you're teaching, don't spend that money. You should not take advantage. You should not take money you get as a bonus for your own benefit, assuming that you have parnasa. You have your basic parnasa. Instead, you should give it to poor people. Right. Hanene menat tzedakah shenosan lo. You are a recipient of tzedakah. He calls it here tzedakah. Maybe it's not the same. I told you everything over here is abstract and the topic of discussion. Shena san loy bishvil shu oisek ba Torah uve mitzvahs uve masim tovim lo yehone me'asher nosnlo. Do not derive benefit. You should not derive benefit. Ele yitnen lemisha toiv kamohu ve oisek ba Torah uve mitzvahs kamoshahu. And I guess what it means is that person, he needs the money basically to survive. I'm reading that into this halach, otherwise it can't make sense. It does he's an ani, right? But you know, there's another person who, look, why would you give it to someone else and not for yourself? I'm assuming because he needs it more than I do. He really doesn't have what to eat. He needs it. Let's say the people, they find out what you're doing, they're giving you a bonus, and you're giving it away to your to another Rebbe, and they tell you, we want you to have a gift. We want you to go, treat yourself to something. Treat yourself to some, go away for Pesach to a hotel. Treat your wife to something. And they make a tanai, and they say, listen, we're giving you this money because you're our child's Rebbe, and we want you to have a bonus, and we're only giving it to you almanas. You don't give it away, then you're not allowed to give it away. Even someone that's better than you who needs it more, lo yitain. And you don't have to tell the person, I don't want the money then.
No.
What?
Somebody is on a low level.
It goes without saying, don't give it to a person that really doesn't need the money, whatever it is. So basically, now I'll give you an example. Now, you know, everything, you have to look at the big picture in many different situations. You have Rabbanim. This became a very big issue. Rabbanim. It used to be the Minhag Yisrael. Today, the whole thing is watered down and people don't even know what it's all about. Mechiras Chametz. It used to be the Minhag Yisrael, the sacred Minhag. You go to the rabbi and you sell the Chametz to a guy through the rabbi. And it's the custom is you give the rabbi money. You give, why do you give the rabbi money? First of all, there's a halachic reason, because chazakah, in order to have, how do you know the rabbi sold the chametz? Really, me'ikar hadin, you should call up the rabbi erev Pesach and ask him, rabbi, did you sell the chametz? I gave you, I filled out the shtoris, and you told me you're going to do it. Who says I can trust you? Bal ye rohe, bal ye matze. Have you call up your doctor to know what the results are? So you should call up the rabbi and ask him, did it work? Did you sell the chametz to a guy? Or am I in violation of bal ye rohe, bal ye matze? Why are religious matters any less important than physical matters? When it comes to your stockbroker, you're going to call up the stockbroker to ask him, what's doing? What's going on over here? So why don't you call up the rabbi and ask the rabbi, did you sell the chametz? Most people, they write, fill up the forms, and they don't want to know from this. They don't want to know what happens. I don't care. I'm off to the races. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to a hotel. After Purim, I sold the chametz through you to the guy. I don't want to know from this. You're mechuyev to call up the rabbi to know what's going on. So why taka not? If you pay the rabbi money, oh, now you make the rabbi into a sochir, into a hired worker. So now you could assume the rabbi did it. Because then, well, if you just do it for free, you get what you pay for. But if you pay the rabbi and you make the rabbi into a sochir, there is a chazakah, the rabbi sold the chametz to the guy. That's a halachic reason as to why you should give the rabbi a few dollars. But there's a hashkafic reason. Basically, it's a way of saying, I submit to you, you are my rabbi, I humble myself as a rabbi. I can tell you that my father was there for many years, it was a big thing. This doesn't exist today. I don't believe it is. If a bala, in the early years, if one of my father's balabatim would not come and sell the chametz to him, it was a declaration of war. I don't hold from you. I don't hold from you. If you don't come to Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, it was a declaration of war. Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, and Mechiras Chametz. And this was standard in any real community where you have a rabbi, you like the rabbi, you don't like the rabbi, he's the rabbi, you submit to his authority by coming to him for Mechiras Chametz. Ad Kidei Kach, and this is very common, yes, the old timers. There were many very good people who had many rabbanim. They were very close with many rabbanim in the community. They would do mechiras chametz with every single one. You do mechiras chametz with four rabbanim, and you pay them. You give them all donation, and each one you make believe that you're the only rabbi, and you give them and you give money. There's a whole shal in the chasam sofer. So what about the guy who owns the chametz? If you sold the chametz to four different rabbis and they have four different goyim, who says the good mechira? Which guy? You know, which guy? What? Maybe all of the transactions are null and void. If you sell to too many people, so maybe really no one. It's the whole thing's a joke. I can't go sell my chametz to goy A and goy B, to Tom and Dick. I can't go sell them and to Harry.
It will
void all the transactions. The Chasam Sofer says, listen, you sold it to four goyim. One of them for sure owns it. Which one? That's their problem. Let the goyim fight it out. Who owns your chametz? But you got rid of it. You sold it. No, they don't know. They don't know of the other one. They don't know the other one. It used to be a sign. This is what you do. Now, what happens in today's day and age? You're a new young rabbanim. Many rabbanim today, unfortunately, are independently wealthy. Who else would go into this business? Okay, especially in Lakewood. There are a lot of independently wealthy people who put up trailers and shuls. And you know what they do? And they tell the balabatim, You don't have to give me any money. No money. That's very kind. You don't have to give me any. I don't need the money. I'm independently wealthy. I'm not to be a schnorrer. I sell du mechiras chametz. I don't take any money. So then what happens? Free. It's free. Free services. Everyone goes there, and the rabbanim who need the money desperately, who it's part of their parnasa, to feed, they lose out. Because everyone goes, oh, this rabbi doesn't take money. Now today, the whole thing doesn't need, because today people do it online, and they do all these things. So the whole industry anyway has gone down the drain. But it used to be years ago, it was a very big topic when a rav, years ago, not any time recently, when a rav would decide, I'm not taking money. So many of the other rabbanim would have big tainus on him. We need the money. And by you not taking money, and people are going to you, it's a loss of business, because once you have to give money, the people would come to us, who they anyway go to. And by you being a nice guy and not taking money, you're ruining it for all the other people who really do need the money. You got to look at the big picture. Here you have a person who obviously is independently wealthy, and he's a Rebbe, and not everyone knows that he has money. He has enough money to live comfortably, whatever it is, and he's not worried about money. And he's a Rebbe in the yeshiva, and they're paying him bupkis. So the parents of the Rebbe, they figure for Pesach he doesn't have what to eat, so they go and they give him a gift, and the Rebbe says no, I don't want your gift. I don't want your gift. That plants a seed in the mind of the parent. Next year, when the kid goes to the next class, to the eighth grade, to the sixth grade, whatever it is, the same way last year's Rebbe, you don't have to give the money. He's not going to give the money to him either. You got to look at the big picture of things. The big picture is the Rebbeim, they need the money. Most people are poor. That's a reality. And most people need the money. And when one person decides he's going to go against the trend, go against what is ordinary, because he doesn't need the money, look at the big picture. You're creating a precedent that's not healthy. I'll give you an example. I know of a place of where now the landing of the Megillah, and there is a Baal Kriya, and he always lands every single year. There are a few minyanim, a certain minyan he lands, and there's a guy there that's chalashing to land, and the Baal Kriya told basically gazun to hate, let him land. It means so much to him. Let him land. Let him land. He wants to land. Fine, I laned enough. It's fine. He can lane, but the rabbi doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to let the other person, because because there are many minyanim, and it's gonna shake up the whole chazaka institute. You think you're being a nice guy? You're being a nice guy. You're letting this guy lane instead of you, and he might even be better. He lanes better. He's faster, but there are five minyanim here. And everyone has their chazaka. And when you're going to go and give up your chazaka for this guy, so this guy also should give up his chazaka for the other guy. Let other people have their turn, have their chance. It creates a whole crack in the system. There's a trickle-down effect which disturbs the whole system. You can't, even though in your particular situation it's fine and good, when you start breaking the rules, you're creating a lot of problems. He doesn't say all that over here, but he alludes to this to a certain degree. Is a person gets hanena min hatzdaka shenosan loy b'shvil shu oisek ba'tayvim mitzvot samasim tayvim. That's a very good thing. And it's a very nice thing when the community gives money to people who are oisek in tayvim mitzvot. And now you decide, you know what? I don't want to be nana from it. Lo yehonem yasher nosnulo. I don't want to derive, but he tells you over here, the Sefer Chasidim says, don't take the money. I'm telling you what he says here. If you read the words literally, don't take the money, I'm telling you, you're shaking up the system, and this is not such a good idea, not to take the money. Because if you're not going to take the money, then there's a reason why they're giving you money. Because in generally, you need the money. You're an exception. You want to be a tzaddik, and you want to low yeh. And he's telling you low yehonim me'asher nos low ella yitnenu l'misha toiv kamov yoseik batov mitzvot kamo shahu. I'm telling you that this statement is a very controversial statement, because in practical reality,
take the money and give it to another rabbi.
But by doing so, when they find out, when people are going to find out when they gave you the bonus, you gave away the bonus to another Rebbe, he's telling you, do it. Give away the money to another Rebbe who needs the money. I'm telling you, like I told you, everything in the Sefer Chassidim is very controversial. And it's a springboard for a topic of discussion. People who do this are making a lot of trouble. A rabbi, look, the same thing with a rabbi. A rabbi, and this is already documented. A rabbi is, someone goes to the rabbi, I'm selling you the chametz, and he gives the rabbi money. He gives the rabbi money for mechiras chametz. And the rabbi takes the money that he gets and he gives it away to someone else. People eventually find out. They find out that all the money that he collects for mechiras chametz, he gives to tzedakah. So when they find out that he's giving it to tzedakah, and he's not keeping it for himself, the other rabbanim get very upset. Well, you know, you don't need the money, but we need the money. And by you breaking the minag Yisrael was, is that the rabbi keeps the money, that's his parnasa. And by you breaking the minag Yisrael in the community, everyone knows about it, people look at us like we're chazerim. We take the money and you don't take the money. We're the ones who are doing the right thing because not everyone is independently wealthy. What he's saying over here, that's right, don't take the money and give the money to the people who need the money more than you. I'm telling you, take this with a grain of salt, because this can turn into a disturbance for in the big picture of things. He's not concerned. The Sefer Chassidim over here, the way he writes it, as a matter of fact, and he says, "Lo yehoneh miasher nasnu lo ella yitnenu lemisha toiv kamo the oisek b'tov mitzvos kamo shu." Unless they say to you, don't do that. Because the reason why maybe they're telling you don't do that, maybe the other rabbanim are telling you, you know, you're making problems when you do this. You're shaking up the system, which is in place for a reason. Then you're right, take the money for yourself, put it into your bank account, and use it, because... yeah, there are rules, there are minhagim for a reason. And when you start making trouble, and you know better, you're making trouble. The einot tzarich lama, don't give to a person that does not deserve it. Yeah?
I have to say a story. And when I was a Rebbe in Yeshiva many, many years ago, for Hanukkah, they used to make a collection amongst all the PMs to give a certain amount of money, which was... wasn't very great, and they gave it to the Rebbe. And there was one Rebbe, his name was Rabbi Pollack, and he passed away. He was a first grade Rebbe, but he was a very shtaka Rebbe. He refused. He made a whole big tumult, and he would not take the money. He said, "I want every parent to give me whatever they want. I don't like this whole business of collection." He said, "You want to give me cake? You want to give me a cake for Hanukkah? Fine. You want to get whatever you want to do. You want to do nothing." And it made a whole big tumult in the yeshiva. And then they followed him. Where there was no floor collection, everybody did whatever they wanted to do. And ultimately, the rebbeim made tremendous amounts of money, much, much more than with the collection. So it is a different kind of story. But it was now, maybe it wasn't right to some parents, but it was now pressure on them to do whatever they wanted to do as an individual instead of...
Did every Rebbe make more money?
Every situation is different. The point over here is, you can't generalize every situation. The point over here is, there's a system in place. There's a system in place, and all of a sudden, this person is breaking the system. You know, be careful. Be careful. He says, unless I tell him, there are things that have been set up in a way for a reason, and you just have to have that sensitivity. All right, let's go further. I'm going to cover some ground over here. Let's go further. Next, in Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is Ein Roy Lihimanois Gabay Al Stalker Elim Kane Hu Nemon Krebi Chanina Ben Tradioin. Okay, I don't know what the story there is, but it means that if you want to be a Gabay on stock or sign the checks, you better be honest. I remember when I was a kid in a certain organization, we need money. Okay, it was a certain event, and we need money to go buy the supplies for the event. Okay, you know, a regular organ. I don't want to give away too many details. So I went to the person who was in charge of the charge, and he said, and I says, you know, we need the money right away. Okay, the event, we have to go buy the stuff. I'm not laying out money. It's a lot of money. So okay, no problem. I'll give you a check. Mitzvah Shabbos. So I said, but I know that you need two signatures. And the other person who signs the check is an Eretz Yisrael. So he says to me, that's not a problem. I'll sign both signatures. It's not a problem. And he took out the check and he wrote his signature and then he finagled the other signature. Here, don't worry, it's good. What?
The bank doesn't check.
Under $10,000, they don't check. Even over $10,000, they don't check.
They have a stamp. You don't even have to sign anymore.
But they have to say, yeah, okay. But so I think, so that person, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says, does not belong in business. He should not be the president of the shul or the president of a yeshiva because it says over here, you have to be a squeaky clean honest. It's eventually going to catch up with the person. Next, now listen to this. A person forgets. Could you imagine what he would say about the President of the United States, who in the deposition he said that I don't remember,
you're
pronouncing it wrong. How do you pronounce it? Chakron. Anyone that says there should be a limit to the number of times you can say forget, it says there, im adam ani hu, if he's an ani, vishachon. I never heard that word before as a term. And he's a forgetful person. Afal pi shu toiv tzadik, even though he's a good reputation, lo yitochein sheyehe gabai. It is not possible that such a person should be appointed as a gabai. If you forget how much you have a tendency to forget, lo yitochein, that you can be a gabai al hatzdaka.
But if he was the gabai for the past 20 years, now you've got all sides, what do you do?
Get rid of him. 1, 2, 3, doesn't he? Ella im keinu neman, lo yitochein sheyehe gabai, kol shekin, the President of the United States, kishe yishkach kama yipara, velo yikabel pigdoinois, afilu min atavim pen yishkach, that is unexcusable. A person that has a poor memory cannot be in charge of money. Under no condition. Okay, what is the budget of the United States of America? Under no condition. Next, the yeast. Now here he says something very controversial. Next halacha, quickly, next halacha. The yisem nikiyim yashem yisrael v'lo mikol. Now he writes here, now this, you learn the Sefer Chassidim for the chidushim. This is a chidush. This you've never heard before. We always learn this pasuk, v'yisem nikiyim yashem yisrael. A person has to be squeaky clean. It has to be completely free from any suspicion. No one should ever suspect that you have pocketed money for yourself. He says, if that's what the pasuk really means, it should say, v'yisem nikiyim mikol Yisrael. The pasuk is missing a word. The pasuk should say, v'yisem you shall be nikiyim, innocent, from Hashem, and from every single member of the Jewish population. Guess what? It doesn't say that. It says Mi Yisrael. And because the word Mikol Yisrael is absent, it means you only have to be free from suspicion from the majority of the Jewish people. But it's good, it's acceptable that a couple of people should suspect that you're a ganef. It's unbelievable. No, you know why? Because if you're a gabai tzedakah, there are many situations where you have to do things secretly and give money to a poor. This is shocking what it says. Shocking, shocking, shocking. And he's dashing this in the pasuk. There are times when you're a gabai tzedakah, it's inevitable that there's an emergency and there's a very sensitive situation and not everyone has to know every little detail. We'll talk about transparency. Today nothing is transparent anyway. Everything today is unbelievable. The corruption is beyond belief and everything. But people always are crying and screaming, transparency, we want to see the books. Every little detail of the budget has to be out in the open for everyone to see. And it sounds like a very good idea. It sounds like, you know, if every single dollar is accountable, that's the way to go. Correct? Doesn't that seem to be theoretically correct? Why not?
You voted in a board, and the board knows not every single member needs to know everything.
So he says that. This is not, this something, it's like everything is a spring of a conversation. You have an organization, and they demand, they want an inventory, they want the books. The membership wants to know every single dollar where it went. Every single dollar. And the board says, we don't want to tell you.
As long as there's an elected board that you trust.
We don't want to tell you. Look at this week's parsha. The S-O-L-F. In this week's parsha, they wanted to know from Moshe Rabbeinu where every single dollar went. And Moshe couldn't remember. There was 1,775 coins. I don't know. I don't know where they went. And they said, you don't know where they went? You're fired. You find out where they went or you're fired. And Nes Hashem reminded him where the money went. It went for the hooks. A little detail. Aderech HaTeva, Moshe would never would even remember that these little hooks. Who would have imagined? That's where the money went. 1,775 leftover coins. They collected an enormous amount of money. Like thumbtacks. Okay, oh, we forgot I spent 99 cents on thumbtacks. They were going to fire him over because he didn't remember the 99 cents he spent on the thumbtacks.
Yeah.
The 1775 was a drop in the bucket. Connected all the gold, the silver they collected. Oh, these little hooks, these little teeny hooks. On how many amudim were there? Not all of them. I've got the number of amudim. There weren't so many amudim, and the little hooks of silver that were used to hold the curtains in place. He remembered. If not for that, he would have been fired. So that's a topic of discussion. And now we discussed this week. On Monday we discussed the people who gave the gold didn't ask for an accounting. They didn't ask. Only the people who gave the silver wanted to know where the money went. The people who gave the gold didn't ask where the money went. You know why? The same way they were generous to give gold, they were generous in their trust of their leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're generous. We trust you. We don't want an accounting. He writes over here, Sefer Chassidim, Adavar Nifla Ad Moed. Is that it's not a good idea that there should be full accountability. You have to trust your leaders because there are always circumstances, situations that are an emergency and money has to be spent in a way that not everyone has to know where the money went. Not everyone has to know. I know of a yeshiva. They broke.
There are certain internal controls in place.
I know first end of a yeshiva. They broke in. There was this going on. I don't know if it still goes on. Hope not. Pirates. Hackers, they broke into the computer system and they froze it. This happened to me also. And I had nothing there, so I couldn't care less. But they broke into a computer system and a lot of valuable, sensitive information, and the hackers said, we'll open it up. Everything was ransom, and they wanted a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the yeshiva paid the money. They paid the money in bitcoins. They paid the money. So if you go so does everyone have to, how much do they pay? No one knows. No one knows how much they paid. Does everyone in the yeshiva have to know how much they paid? Does everyone, every
what was so sensitive that they couldn't publish?
What?
What was so sensitive that they couldn't?
It's lost information. It's they couldn't function.
They locked them up.
They locked it. There was a lot of valuable information. Even if it's not sensitive, first of all, there is sensitive information. They probably have a lot of people's credit cards on file. I don't know exactly what they, but whatever it is, it's extremely valuable. And how come it wasn't backed up and this and that? I don't know what the story was, but they paid the money. Now, people, how much should you pay? It's none of your business. You don't have to know. None of your business. Everyone has to know. Everyone has to know all the details. You know, you can argue, yeah. You can argue, no. Azoy and Azoy, you know, you can play. You know, these are everything that he says in Sefer Chassidim is unbelievable. It's mamish a topic of discussion. He writes here a drasha: the Yisem Nikim Me Hashem Umi Yisrael. Why didn't the pasuk say Umi Kol Yisrael? He says a chiddush because it's not so bad if a couple of people out there suspect you that you're a ganef. That's part of the job. They say about a rabbi. If no one wants to throw out the rabbi,
then he's not a good rabbi.
He's not a good rabbi. And if everyone wants to throw out the rabbi, he's not a mensch. There's this middle ground in life. You got to take a stand. You got to take a stand in controversial matters to be a strong person, and you're going to ruffle people's feathers. If no one wants to throw out the rabbi, that shows he's not a good rabbi. But if everyone wants to throw out the rabbi, there's something wrong with the rabbi. Okay, there's something wrong with him. Same thing. If you're leading an organization, if no one suspects you're a ganef, then you're not doing your job. If everyone suspects that you're a ganef, then you're a ganef. Okay. The yisem nikiyim Hashem umiyisrael v'loy and not mikol Yisrael pamim shagabai noisein livnei toivim. Sometimes it is necessary for a gabai tzedakah to give money to good people. She'enam yoidim hadavar elashnayim oishloisha machashuvei ho'ir. Only a handful of people know what the situation is, and it is called for that money should be secretly given to these people for a good reason. She'im yedu ho'acherim, if everyone in the community knew what was going on, ho'yizeh ha'makabel mispayesh, the results would be horrible. Whatever the situation is. Ki kishiyichasu ha'yu malbinim panav, when they would get angry, whatever, it says sometimes that if they would get angry at these people, then they would embarrass them. I don't know what that means exactly. V'ho'yi ha'gabai nois napi shnayim o'shloshu toivim ho'ir la'anim toivim, and it's a secret. And there are a couple of people, there are some of the leaders of the community, they know the secrets. Ushar akohol timehim. What? Where did the money go? Who pocketed the money? Onohol humo satzdaka. Kol kach mehera. V'yesh le boishas, and the gabai is put to shame. Umutov, and he writes it, umutov, it's kedai to be suspected. Lagabai sheyalbinu espanov. Better the gabai be suspect and not the people who got the money, who desperately need the money in this situation. If the gabai will reveal where the money really went, now this is a shocking thing to put in print. This maybe I always tell you, in all these art school books, you only find chumras. No one is going to commit themselves, there's no rabbi today, will commit themselves to write a kula in print, in a choshuva publication. The books, they only tell you the basics, and they tell you chumras. You're not going to find in the footnotes, in all of the new published English halach, and even if you'll ask the rabbi privately, he will tell you all the leniencies. And I'll tell you, rely upon me, you can do all of these things. Oh, but I need to show someone in print what it says. I don't have anything to show you. There's nothing in print. That's the nature of the world. The nature of the world is, you always imagine you're under scrutiny and you're going to be blacklisted, you're going to be looked down upon. He has a lot of guts. He has a lot of guts to say this. Everyone today, you talk in the world, transparency, even though the world is thoroughly corrupt, we all know that. Mm-hmm. Everything is corrupt today. Everything is corrupt. But everyone, they talk all ethics, morals of the marketplace, transparency. You got to know every single dollar. And that's right. That's really, yet he says, there are times, there are situations that better don't be transparent.
But on the flip side, he's saying the rabbi shouldn't be giving out the gemach and the start here.
Shnei or shloisha toivir, right? Two or three people. He writes shnayim or shloisha toivir. Right. Okay. So right. So there is. Okay. Yeah. Listen. You can't. You're dealing. Every situation is unique. You can't generalize. But the concept. What he's saying over here is, it says in the Torah, we've all been taught this. The yisem nikiyim mehashem miyisrael, squeaky clean. And that's what you promote, and that's the way it has to be. And he writes, how come it didn't say umi kol Yisrael, pa'amim, that you're not squeaky clean from kol, you're squeaky clean from the majority, but there are yechidim that are a little suspicious. That's the nature of the game. You're a gabai tzedaka. The people have to have trust in you. They have to have trust that you need to do the right thing in every situation, and that sometimes demands that you don't know all the secrets. One of the great
people in charge have to make deals that are very good and know what you know about.
Right, exactly. But that's a very hard thing to say publicly. It's a very hard thing to put in print. Because why? Why? If you're everything is down to a science.
Does the Yigros Moshe have any coolest of Moshe possible?
Moshe was very machbid when it comes to money. Very, very machbid.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer. All right, let's talk about Purim now. Let's talk about in Yonei Purim. Okay, I want to